Yes, they're going to be influenced by their parents, but they still have that ultimate responsibility themselves to decide, no, I'm going to follow after God. I love God. I fear God. No one has more impact on that decision of that child than the parents. But we've seen all too often when we had godly parents that children made bad decisions. They've gone down the road where they've left their family, they left the church, they left God. So we need to try to understand what being godly parents is to the best of our ability so we can give our children the best opportunity. And not only that, because when you show that we do love and fear God and that we care about our family, because we have an effect. Christians, fathers beget Christian children. There's been multiple studies on this. There's a difference. Well, go about halfway down. It says, amazingly, when a father attends church on an irregular basis, 60% of the children reaching adulthood will be irregular attendees and drop out altogether. When a father doesn't ever attend church, only 2% of children that grow into adulthood will attend church, with nearly none of them ever becoming Christian. When the same equation is with the mother, the numbers are not nearly as drastic. The conclusion is that fathers have the greatest influence on their children's lives and have the most impact on their becoming a Christian and attending church regularly as adults. I would be immediately slammed, as well, the author of who wrote that, by the feminist. They'd say, well, you're sexist by even stating that. I'm sorry, statistics prove that. So we've got to ask ourselves, why do the statistics prove this? I mean, why are these facts true? There's something about the father. And as we said, all fathers are different. We all look different. Fathers look different. They do different things. Children look at fathers a different way. You see, they paint the pictures of fathers. And we see fathers have different personalities, have different characteristics, have different emotions. And that particular picture just shows some of those emotions. And, you know, it's funny, but kids, when they look at their father, they look at their father in every situation of life. How does their father handle every situation? Does their father handle conflict well? Does he handle crisis well? Does he handle his religious life well? Does he show fear of God? All of these different things, we can go on and on and on. Because children are looking. We're their example. They do the things we do. They watch what we watch. They play where we play, hopefully, that we are playing with our children. They know how much time a father spends with them. They know how important they are to a father, whether they want to admit it or not. Children are very good at hiding emotions. They know when they're not number one. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever fool yourself. When children know that they're not the most important thing in the parent's life next to God, and their family's not, then they suffer. So, the faces of God, of a godly father, are really revealed by his passion. And Daniel has done a good job over the last several weeks talking about passion. And I asked him, I said, I think you mentioned passion of a father in one of your lessons. And he said, yeah, I briefly mentioned it. I didn't want to try to walk over what he taught. But it's so applicable to the father. Because that's what we're talking about. We're going to do things differently. But what counts is the passion that we show as a provider for our family, as a protector for our family. Number one, I should put up there, as a spiritual leader for our family. And about society in general, our peers, our relationships with the world. What are we more passionate about? How are we showing that to our family? And remember, we're teaching it by what we do, by when we smile, what we laugh at, what we disdain. That's how you're teaching your children. At the dinner table, what are you talking about? Are you using that opportunity to teach your children how to get through this world as a godly child, and to raise them up as godly parents, so they'll be godly parents? The face of the Father, His passion is shown in His guardianship of the family. We have to look at, the Father has to look at Himself as a guardian. And I think that's what, that fact is that this position was given to God, given by God to man when He created man. He was the head of the family. He was the guardian of the family. In Him lay the ultimate responsibility. And God made that same hierarchy throughout nature, through the animal kingdom. The males were the stronger. The males provided, for the most part, or at least provided the protection in some shape, form, or fashion. Some males, and it doesn't apply to every species, but by nature we can look at what God intended man to be like. We know from Romans 1. These traits that are innate in man's genes can be distorted, though. And that's what's happening in the world. They can be distorted by bad example. They can be distorted by self-centered lifestyles. They can be distorted or not valued by society. They're ignored by society. They're scoffed at by society. They're shamed by society. And I don't mean all society. I'm talking about the feminist and the humanist world that we live in today. So, man has to be a guardian of, number one, his family spirituality. He's going to set values of his family from marriage. A man and a wife will be joined together and be one. They will leave father and mother. It's no longer his daddy setting the values for his son's family. His dad's had his opportunity, and his influence has been on how his son is, the man his son is right now. So, from the time they become married, the head of the household, the father, starts setting the values of the family and how he deals with his wife and treats with his wife. And then hopefully in years to come, they're going to have children. And he's going to show his attitude towards his wife, his attitudes towards his children. His children are going to see his attitude towards his wife. But most importantly, if he's going to be a godly father, his children are going to see his attitude towards God. Does my father fear God? Does my father love God? Does my father pay attention to my God's principles, to the things that are taught? Is my father hypocritical in some things? And I want to tell you one thing, we're all guilty of that. From time to time, we're all going to fail as fathers. But our passion for our family and our children is going to show through. It's going to cover up those slights, those times we fall for our children. If we try to be passionate to our family, if we show our passion for God, our wife, and our children, it's going to allow us to make some mistakes. We have some hedge room there. Because you're going to make them. It's going to set values from time to get married with our relationship with the world. Relationship with Christians. We're going to have a relationship with the world. We've got to work in it. We've got to talk to others. We've got to seek to save the lost. We're going to show our relationship to other Christians. Our children are going to see that. We're Does my father want to hang around with the world, or does he want to hang around with Christians? Is my father happy when he's with Christians, or is he sad? It can't be hid. It's in your face. It's whether you smile. It's whether you talk. It's an emotion. It's undeniable. Nobody else has to look at it. It's just your child looking at your face can tell. In Romans, I walked up here reading the Bible. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12 deals a lot with characteristics of Christians, and what God expects out of Christians. And in Romans, in the first verse there, it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, if we're concerned about our relationship with God, that's our starting point, okay? We need to strive to be a living sacrifice. That means we put God first and His will first. We strive to be holy and acceptable. We strive to conform our lives to the Scripture, to His Word. And like what it says in the end, it says, which is your reasonable service. And I think it means the reasonable expectation. If you're a Christian, you're living and you're striving to serve God, you're striving to live a holy and acceptable life, that's reasonable for what God has done for us. God's provided something past this world for us, which is eternity. In Psalms 141, verse 1 through 5, it says, I cry unto thee, make haste to me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to do any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their days. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. So one of the first things after a man showing his passion for God is a man showing his passion for his own soul before he can be a successful father. He can't just fake being one that is concerned about his own soul after he's married because he has children. And when we're baptized into Christ, that's one thing we experience, isn't it? We're baptized because we fear God, because we know that we are lost. Without that fear, we are lost. So, how does he display his fear of God? It's in how he lives, what he does. Does he watch his lips? That very prayer in Psalms 114. He displays a fear of God in Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And know this, that if the goodman of a house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. A man has to be watchful and fearful of the judgment. He's watched after his soul. He displays fear of God, and he needs to know how to watch. It's different than saying, okay, I'm going to be a guard and stand up, do it a certain way. We need to know how to watch. There's more to being a guardian. There's more than watching after our souls than just reading the scripture, than being here on Sunday. There's an urgency to it. And that's one thing that's left out in the world too much, in the workplace. There's an urgency. But the greatest urgency on earth is for our Christian life and for our families. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Or be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So we're to watch diligently. We're to pay attention. We're to be sober about it. We're to be serious. As fathers, you have a serious obligation. It's a fun obligation to put your attention towards your children. We've enjoyed seeing our children grow up. But we have to be careful of the kind of people. We've got to be careful of our example, that we are showing what our true passion is. Sorry. I haven't done this all the time. He sets an example of his relationship with his wife. In Ephesians 5:23, I think one of the best, through the verse 28, one of the best sets of scriptures that shows what God expects man's passion for his wife to be. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be subject to her own husbands and everything. Verse 25, husband, love your wives. And it tells us how. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so all men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. With his children, in Deuteronomy 4, when Moses was instructing the children of Israel, you remember where they had been. They had been in Egypt. They had been slaves. They hadn't been worshiping God. They had been surrounded by idols, by the Pharaoh who claimed to be a god. Idols were on every hand. They needed to be taught, just as we need to be taught. And he tells them how. Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things thine eyes have seen. He's talking about all the miracles that God performed in delivering them out of Egypt. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they should live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. We're to teach our children to fear God. We're to teach our children of all the wonderful things that God has done for us, His power, His majesty, and His love for us. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and the post of on thy gates. Your face is going to show these things to your children. When I say your face, I guess everyone understands. I'm talking about your attitude towards God and the things in His Word. That's why being a father is so critical. And what we do is so critical in front of our children. And we need to teach our children, our young men, what you're going to do and how you live your life now is going to affect your family. And with the world, in Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So our relationship with the world is not to conform to it. We're to be transformed from being worldly people to godly people by the Word of God. We do have a responsibility to those that are spiritually lost. We're to teach the lost. We have responsibilities to our jobs to provide for our families. And these are important responsibilities. Our family depends upon us. Our family also watches us how we teach the lost. They watch us how we go to work. Are we happy? Are we sad? Are we thankful for our jobs and our prayers? Are we thankful for all the things that God has given us? But we ought to be exceptionally thankful for our jobs, because our jobs are what takes care of our families. It takes care of our wife. It takes care of our children. It takes care of all these things. Our relationship with the world is the attitude displayed before the world. How do we live in a wicked world? What kind of attitude do we display to our children? How do we handle that with our children? When we see wickedness in the world, we're confronted with it, we have to deal with it. In Romans 12:17, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men." That's really a powerful little verse. We're not to strike back at the world. We're not to repay evil for evil. But what are we to do? It's our attitude again. We're to have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Our face again. Our face is going to be a face that shows regard for good things. And the world and our children are going to see that. Verse 18, it says, "If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." So, if it's at all possible, we're to live peaceful at peace with all men. That doesn't mean all men are going to be treating us back with peace. It means we have to avoid some things. We have to go, okay, and walk away. It's not fun to do. Sometimes we like to strike back verbally or some other way. It's natural we do those things. But you've got to remember, our children are seeing us when we do these things. And it's not God's will. And again, in Romans 12:19-20, Mother quoted verse 20 a lot. Let's start with verse 19. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head." And that's what I remember Mother always saying. So she says, "No, don't you be mean to you." She says, "That's right, you be just nice to him. Because it's going to heap coals of fire on her head." And she was always nice to people, whether they were good or bad. But she knew that verse well. So what are the points we need to understand out of this lesson? We need to understand that we've got to be passionate. And I don't mean standing up and jumping and going off handle. I'm talking about the things we've talked about. We need to be passionate about God, and we need to show it in our face to our children. We need to show it in the things and how we respond to the things of God. We need to be passionate about our own soul. Are we watchful about ourselves, or are we just going to be the hypocrite that tells our children the way they ought to be? Are we going to be willing to go to God and ask Him to forgive us when we sin? Are we going to be willing to submit to Him in the beginning and be baptized? Our children are looking at our faces with our wife. Are we passionate about our wife? Do we make her that, as the song read, was it some queenly quest? Do we treat our wife as though a queen? We try. Sometimes. And sometimes we fail miserably. And we need to apologize for our wives for that. We're not perfect, even though they think we are. Our children. Our children are going to look, are looking at all these things. Do we show them the love, the concern? Do we show them our true face? Or do they see a false face? Because don't be fooled, they'll know it. Does your daughter see how you treat your wife? And do you treat her in such a way that your daughter is only going to look for a man that's going to put her on a pedestal? Or is she going to accept any man that will just get her away from the family? We need to think of that when we're dealing with our wife. Our daughter is looking at our face. Our daughter is saying, well, this is the way all men treat women. I guess I have to accept that too. And John sees them every day. We know them. We've seen them. Girls that accept people that don't have any kind of values for them or anything else. Do we have a passion towards the lost? That's some, all these things are things we can all work on. We're going to fall short on all these things in some shape, form, or fashion. And each one of us is going to fall short in a different way. But God's Word doesn't change. It's simple. The things that He stated for us to do are simple. But we have to show a passion to do that. Do we show a passion for our job? Do we show appreciation for our job to God, to the company that works us? Do we show appreciation that we're able to feed our family, clothe our family? And all jobs are different. It doesn't matter how good or high paying the job you got. But if you've got the contentment where you can go and make a living and feed your family, that's a lot more than 90% of the rest of the world has. Things that we have here in America. Do we have a passion towards those that mistreat us? That's hard to have, isn't it? But by our example, those that mistreat us, there's a chance they may rethink their ways. And that's the lesson. And I hope it's been beneficial. I hope we think as fathers about our face. At what those little faces see. And what the grown faces see. There's multiple generations here. John sees in Brother Payne his face. Dean sees in Harold his face. Ryan sees in me, my face. And that's a hard thing sometimes. But yet, if your children see nothing else, you let them see the love that you have from them.